Joe, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Jason, how are you, my friend? How's everything?
Good. Well, Matt, I'm still kind of chuckling over David Krejci when I read your article. Well, I don't really want to be the leading scorer. who says that?
You know what? He speaks kind of softly. His delivery is soft, and he has kind of a soft voice, so it's not the best for TV sound, for radio sound, and, you know, he's got the accent. So that you put the whole package together, and he's never going to be the guy that you're going to roll out sound for that's going to sound the best. But he says some of the most interesting stuff, and he always gives you candid answers and tells you exactly what he's thinking. So he's always gold when you want to go over there and talk to him about anything, whether it's him or the league related. Between that and him saying that, you know, he thinks that fantasy hockey is a bad thing because it takes away from people actually enjoying the games. He's full of opinions.
Yeah, well, which is true, because I'm sure if he goes a game and doesn't score, people just tweet at him, "Hey, idiot, score me a point. I have you in my fantasy draft." So I'm sure that gets a tad annoying after a while. But the Bruins have only played 10 games. He has 7 goals, 15 points in those 10 games. And, you know, most importantly, he's got 7 points on the power play. Their power play has been red hot.
It has. Tops in the NHL. It's been over 30% success rate pretty much all season. And, you know, he's a big part of it. He and Torrey Krug as the 2-point guys are just dynamite. Between their ability to get point shots through and their ability to see the ice, have good hockey IQs, to see other players and open guys as well as be able to shoot the puck, it just creates a power play that's dangerous up top but also dangerous down below. They're very unconventional in that they have 3 centers on that power play with Ryan Spooner on the half wall, with Patrice Bergeron in the bumper position in the middle, and then David Krejci on the point. And I think that really adds a level of playmaking and intelligence and creativity to that power play that you don't see very often. And clearly the results on the ice speak to that as well.
You know what? The Bruins, a lot of people, Joe, felt like after the offseason moves that this would be a real kind of rebuilding or retooling year for that team. Now, you know, they sit in 7th place, but they've also played, you know, fewer games than everybody, and in some cases 2 or 3. They're 6-3-1 in their first 10. Are you surprised a little bit how well they've started this season?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you break it down into 2 segments, they started off 0-3 and got shellacked the first 3 games at home against pretty good teams, and then they've gone 6-0-1 in the last 7, and they've taken 13 of 14 points. So I would say, like, the stock answer is they're not as bad as they were in the first 3 games when they were just sort of getting used to playing with each other and the system and everything else, and they played good teams. And I don't think they're as good as the 6-0-1 run that they're on. And, you know, they're scoring almost 4 goals a game, and they're number 1 in the NHL in offense. And clearly, I think they're going to have a pretty good offensive team, but they're not going to score at that level all year. They're going to come back to earth offensively. They've got 3 guys that are point-per-game players right now. Tampa led the NHL in offense last year and didn't have any point-per-game players. You know, guys are going to come back to earth. Some of this offense is going to dry up. I'm sure the power play will be top 5, but it's going to scale down and slow down a little bit as well. And what you're left with is a defense that I think is still pretty suspect and is still giving up quality chances and still letting guys take the puck right to the front of the net. And you've got to improve that as the offense kind of runs down a little bit. And, you know, they're in a big test this next week, 10 days, where they play Dallas tonight. Then they go on the road against Washington, Montreal, and Brooklyn. And this is going to be a real test for that weakness defensively that they have. They're going to need to be better, and they're going to need Tuukka Rask to step up his game as he has the last couple of games that he played. And I think, you know, 7 to 14 days from now, after they get through these games, we'll have a much better gauge on exactly who this team is and how good they can be, because they're going to face some tough opposition that will embarrass them if they're not playing well.
You mentioned Tuukka Rask. His first 5 games, you know, he was awful. He, you know, allowed 5 twice and 6 and 3 twice at a save percentage sitting around 850. And then the last 2 games, he looked more like the Tuukka Rask that people expected. Was he just off to a slow start? Was he fighting it? What's been the sudden turnaround for him?
You know, he wasn't great, clearly, but I didn't think he was awful either. I really thought he was a victim in a lot of ways of the atrocious play that was happening in front of him, and just the defensive mistakes all around him were leading to goals, and then I think it got in his head a little bit because it was so bad in front of him, and he got rattled a little bit. He kind of lost his confidence, and the last game that he played against Philly that they lost in overtime where they blew a third period lead was really, you know, one of the worst games that he had played, and he was giving up goals on bad angles, and, you know, it seemed like he was really off. He was playing deeper in his net and not challenging shooters and, you know, stuff that you don't want to see out of your goaltender. And what Claude Julien did was he gave him sort of a mental health break night in Brooklyn, that first Islanders game. He normally would have started Tuukka. Instead, he went with Jonas Gustafsson, who's played really well. He got the win there, and I think that breath allowed him to kind of collect himself and get back on track. And certainly they've played better defense in front of him since then as well. But, you know, he had a fairly easy go of it against Arizona. But then he got challenged on the Florida road trip, and he responded really well. And he looks like he's getting back to where he needs to be. Now, it'll be a good test tonight against the Dallas team that was humbled by the Maple Leafs last night and should be pretty angry going into this one. So he's going to need to be just as good as he was in his last game if they're going to win tonight.
Yeah, going up against Sagan and Ben is going to be a challenge. Zdeno Chara missed a few games. Now he's come back. 7 points in 8 games for the big defenseman, playing almost 25 minutes a night, Joe. A lot of people were wondering, is Zdeno Chara slowing down because of the injury? You watch him every game. How's he looked?
Well, he looks good now. And I don't think there's any question that he can do it for a week, a couple of weeks, you know, in stretches where he's going to be able to play big minutes and really have that elite level of play. The question becomes, how long can he sustain it for? Can he do it against really fast, dangerous, skilled opponents that he started to have more and more trouble with over the years? And can he sustain that level of play over a long period of time, or is there going to be a drop-off? And, you know, he's been a stabilizing force since he came back. He's played excellent hockey. He came into camp in excellent shape. He missed almost all of the training camp, or preseason anyway, with the injury that he suffered. So, you know, he's well-rested, he's fresh, and he's playing like it right now. But I don't think anybody wonders what he's going to look like, you know, the first few weeks in October. People wonder what's going to happen when it's a couple of months in, he's starting to get dinged up and bruised and battered, and he starts slowing down a little bit. He has to play, you know, a tough, grueling part of the schedule. How much is he going to have in the tank at 38 years old? And, you know, we have yet to see, because that was a major issue for both him and Seidenberg last year, was at times they just looked tired from all the minutes that they were playing, and I would expect that the same thing's going to happen again this year, and maybe even be worse, because you certainly don't get more energetic as you get older.
No, definitely not. Joe Haggerty joined us out of Boston talking about the Bruins. Torrey Krug is playing almost 23 minutes a night. You know, not many small defensemen can do that. Never mind guys who aren't considered great defensive. Has his defensive game improved enough, Joe, that this is a guy who can be, you know, competent and successful 23 minutes a night?
I think so. He has been so far. He's another one that's going to have to prove it over a long period of time, but he's really been one of the best defensemen that they've had through this first month of the season, has really helped hold things together. And as you said, one of his goals is to be a top four guy, to not be this sort of bottom pairing power play specialist thing that people want to shoehorn him into, and that obviously his skills would play into that. But he's fought that all along the way, and he feels like he can play against the other team's best players, play in all situations, play big minutes, and that it actually brings out the best in him, and that, you know, he's willing to take that challenge. And, yeah, he's shown in the first month that he can do it and perform well and, you know, survive defensively, especially if he's with a strong defensive partner like Adam McQuaid, a big, strong guy that can, you know, bang bodies in front of the net and protect him a little bit defensively, and then allow him to do what he does best, which is just go north with the puck and keep moving it back into the other end. And just keep it moving quickly. You know, as long as he's able to do that and he has somebody that can help him out in his partnership, I don't see any reason why he can't do it. And he certainly is feisty and determined enough to make it happen. And, you know, that's half the battle right there. I think some of these guys just settle into that bottom pairing power play role, the smaller guys, and that's, you know, what they're going to be, and they don't fight it. Krug's one of those guys that's going to fight it tooth and nail, and it's part of what makes him great. And, you know, I've learned. He was doubted a lot in his career. You know, USA Hockey didn't really look at him because he was too small. He wasn't drafted because he was too small. He had to sort of, you know, be his own biggest advocate and use all that doubt and people that didn't think he could do it and turn it into success. And it's gotten to a point where you can't really doubt him or you shouldn't doubt him because he just proves people wrong every step of the way.
Joe, sticking with the defense, what's the timeline for a return for Seidenberg?
He didn't want to put a date on it. He says he's on schedule, which would be right around Thanksgiving. At this point, he's practiced a few times with the team. He's going to start taking contact, and, you know, then he'll have passed every step, and then he'll start getting closer into the lineup, but he missed all preseason and training camp. He's sort of starting from scratch here. So I would expect it's going to be, even when he gets cleared for contact, it's going to be a couple of weeks, and he's probably going to come in right at the end of November, last couple of weeks of November, beginning of December, and that'll be exactly what they thought it was going to be. But, you know, it's good for him, and they could definitely use they can use as many top four defensemen established ones as they can find right now, because that's something they've been woefully short on.
What about local boy Joe Morrow? He's dressed in seven games now for the Bruins, playing 17 minutes a night. How's he looking this year?
You know, he's looking better. He struggled a little bit early, like a lot of the defensemen did. And then he had this nasty flu bug thing that he said he lost like 10 pounds and was the sickest he's ever been in his life. And, he said he grew up on a farm outside Edmonton and ate dirt every day as a kid. So he thought he had a good immune system built up because he used to do that. But apparently not good enough, because he got sick as a dog and it knocked him out for a week. But as soon as he came back, he played at a much higher level. I think he's done more. He's been better with the puck as far as puck management, not making mistakes. He's, been involved in some plays offensively. He scored a goal. And he's been pretty good and steady as a bottom-pairing defenseman. I think at the end of the day, they would love to continue to see more offensive development out of him because of the way he moves the puck, because of the way he shoots the puck, and because of the offensive skills that he has. And maybe we'll see that as he gets more and more comfortable. But he's been pretty good for them so far, especially since he came back from the sickness.
Joe Haggerty joined us from Boston. Bruins off to a very good 6-3-1 start, only played 10 games. Now, offensively, some guys, you mentioned their offense right now is at a level that likely is not going to be attainable for the remainder of the season. But they've got some guys like Louis Erickson seems to have bounced back after a very bad season last year. Krejci is healthy. He's playing well. Bergeron, even for him, he's producing more than he's used to. What about Brett Connolly, who was acquired late last year, then got injured? He's come back, and he's second on the – or third, I guess, after Marchand on the Bruins in goals, and looks like a guy who's maybe finally starting to settle in as an NHLer.
Yeah, and he had a scratch on the West Coast trip they went on where he didn't play when Brad Marchand came back from a concussion, and then he was skating on the fourth line in the next game when he was going to come back during the morning skate, but he ended up getting placed with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron in a top six role. And ever since that happened, he's really taken off. And, for him, he was kind of saddled in the third line role in Tampa last year. He'd never really gotten that shot to play in the top six with good players, get power play time, and to get a chance to show what he can really do with his big right-handed shot, with his size, with his skating ability, all the things that made him a lottery pick back in 2010. And now he's getting that chance, and he's taking it, and he's running with it. And, he was kind of a mystery at the end of last year and the start of this year, because you only saw him in five games, and he didn't really have a handle on what he could do after he hurt himself once he was traded over to Boston. But what he's shown right now is a guy that can skate, that's 6'2", 200 or so pounds, that can shoot the puck, and really could be a great asset for that line with Bergeron and Marchand, and give them that big right-wing presence that they have never really had on that line. And he's going to get plenty of offensive chances to shoot the puck playing with those players. So he's been really good. It's just a matter of sustaining it. But you can tell he's really happy now getting put in a position like that after he never really got the chance in Tampa to show what he could do.
Joe, always good to catch up with you, my man. We'll see you on the trail soon.
You got it, Jason. Sounds good, my friend.